Misfits Motorsports is more than a racing team. It's a mission. Dedicated to our nation's veterans, the Misfits mission raises awareness for veteran suicide while providing support, purpose, and opportunities for veterans and youth. Together, we're driving change. Learn more on Facebook at Misfits Mission. Hey guys, welcome to the Ginger Veteran Podcast, Episode 8, Postpartum Depression, A Mother's Silent Battle. I'm your host, Fred Gregory. I'm going to tell you guys that I'm really excited to get into this this episode this week. I'm excited for the research I've done. It's not all sunshine and rainbows, but that's not what this podcast is about. But I will tell you, this one is going to get dark. It's going to get pretty heavy. So I will let you know right now, I will give you a couple of seconds to shut this thing off before you have to hear any of it if you don't want to listen to it. It's 100% fine. I completely understand. It's definitely not an easy subject to talk about. All right, guys, if you're still here and you're still listening, I assume that you didn't take the couple of seconds to turn off the podcast and you want to hang in there with me and find out exactly what's going on. So I'll start with this. According to Biogen.com, in the U.S. alone, annually, so every year in the U.S. alone, approximately 500,000 women are affected by postpartum depression. 500,000 women are affected every year by postpartum depression. Wow. I don't know if you guys are as weak at math as I am, so I'll break this down. 500,000 women every single year have experienced postpartum depression. Postpartum depression is a mood disorder that can affect pregnant or postpartum people. Symptoms include extreme sadness, low energy, anxiety, and changes in sleeping or eating patterns. So, you know, it's man, it's really hard to think about, right? I think about with my kids, and I think about people who I know who have had kids, and people I've known while they've had kids, right? And, you know, childbirth is this amazing thing, and it's a huge step in your life, and, you know, you absolutely want to be there to take care of your children, and you can't imagine anything other than that, right? That's what you imagine. When you have kids, you're like, man, I want to be there for them. Nobody ever has a kid and thinks, bah, I just had this thing because I wanted to have this thing, right? You want to do good by your children. You want to do well for them. You want to give them a better life than what you had, whether you had a good life or not. You want it to be better because it's your child and you are the one responsible for it. Now, here's what I want you to imagine. Imagine holding your child and thinking, I'm not good enough for this. This baby doesn't deserve this terrible life. And then imagine, if you would, for just a second, imagine flashing a thought across your head that you want to take this baby's life or you want to take your life because you can't handle the way your brain is comprehending things right now. Your brain is off balance. And you look at this thing literally that you gave life to, and that's what you think. And you think, I can't do anything for this child. I'm not worthy of being a parent for this child. I couldn't imagine doing that. But you know what? Neither can the people that do it. They can't imagine that either. They can't imagine looking at their child and thinking anything negatively about them. That's not how postpartum depression works. You don't just get it and, you know, it's part of you. It's not you. It's not who you are. It's not the parent you want to be. the reason why I want you to think about it, and the reason why I want you to picture it in your mind and try to, for a moment, put yourself in those shoes, is because people do that every day. Every day that someone has a child, there is a chance that they suffer from postpartum depression. Every day that a child is born, somebody does suffer from postpartum depression. Does it make them a horrible person? No, absolutely not. Does it make them somebody that needs help? Abso-fucking-lutely. But not a lot of mothers want to come forward with this type of information. They don't want to do it. They feel like less of a person. They feel like less of a mother. They feel like people are going to judge them. It goes back to that stigma that we talk about with mental health. It's always around, whether internal or external, right? But could you imagine right now, right? I've told you to put yourself in those shoes. Look at that baby that you're holding in your arms and just think absolutely off-the-wall terrible thoughts, right? Now, imagine going and telling a stranger how you feel. For just a second, just a second, put yourself in this person's shoes and walk to a doctor or, you know, whoever, somebody that you trust, and tell them that you have these negative thoughts about this beautiful bundle of joy that you're handing over to them because you don't feel safe holding your own child. Now, there's two kinds of people that are listening to this right now. There's the person that's saying, oh man, that's tough. I couldn't do it. I see why people struggle in silence. And then there's other people that are saying, I would do anything for my child. There's, like I said, there's two kinds of people listening. And there's also people that you can change their mind, and there's people that you can't. I'm not here to have that argument. I don't want to sit down and try to change your mind about what you would and what you wouldn't do if you were in that situation. Some people are listening to this and they're saying 100%, I'd do anything I wanted or anything I could to protect that baby. And that's fine. And I'm sure the person holding that baby who feels the way I just described said the exact same thing. If not, they thought it. Because you don't go into this thinking, I'm going to be a complete monster to my child. That's not what you think. That's not what anybody thinks. And I'm not saying these people are monsters. What I'm saying is you don't go in there with the mindset of, if I need help, I'm not going to fucking get it. Okay? So, put yourself in those shoes. Would you tell somebody? Would you ring the bell and tell somebody? And the fact of the matter is, I've said this and I'll say it, you know, until the day I die. The fact of the matter is, you don't know what you would do unless you were in that situation. So here's the thing that I'll have you think of. Just because these people are having negative thoughts about either wanting to hurt themselves or wanting to hurt their baby, does it mean that they don't want the baby? Absolutely not. If you go up and tell a doctor, hey, I'm thinking about putting a pillow over my child's face and smothering them, is the doctor going to let you keep that baby? No. Am I saying it's right that people should have that fear and say, I would possibly lose my child if I go and tell somebody the way I feel or the way I'm thinking right now at this time? Do I think that that's a noble reason not to go tell somebody? No, I don't. I think that you should. But that's my feelings and my personal belief, and that's what I think you should do. You do not have your brain working at 100% when you have all these different directions that you're being pulled, right? I don't want to hurt my child. I think I want to hurt my child because I'm not in a good place right now. But I don't want to hurt my child. I want to love my child. I want to be here for my child. I want to protect my child. I'm the only person that can protect my child the way I want to. But if I walk over here and I tell this doctor that I'm having these feelings or I'm having these thoughts, this doctor is going to take this child away from me, and then I can't protect the child. You don't think rationally in these situations. You don't think, okay, I'm giving this baby to a doctor. They're going to take care of him because I really need to get help dealing with what I'm dealing with. You don't, that's not how you think. And people who say, well, that's the way I would think. And you don't know. You really don't know. I can't sit here and tell you that you wouldn't, right? I can't sit here and say that you would not take that baby over to that doctor, because there are people who do it. It does happen. But what I'm saying is, don't pass judgment on the people who don't, because you don't know what type of person you would be in that situation. So, according to the CDC, 1 in 8 women are affected with postpartum depression. 53% of pregnancy-related deaths happen 7 to 365 days postpartum. What postpartum means is after you have the child. So just to kind of bring in some more numbers to this, the leading underlying causes of pregnancy-related death include hypertensive disorders, 7%, cardiomyopathy, 9%, infection, 9%, cardiac and coronary conditions, 13%, excessive bleeding, hemorrhaging, 14%. Now, the number one cause for pregnancy-related deaths, mental health conditions, including deaths to suicide and overdose/poisoning related to substance use disorder, 23%. Some signs of postpartum depression: crying more often than usual, feelings of anger, withdrawing from loved ones, feeling numb or disconnected from your baby, worrying that you will hurt the baby, feeling guilty about not being a good mom, or doubting your ability to care for the baby. Now, there comes a time when you have to really think about your significant other. Are they having these thoughts that they can't care for the baby, or that they're guilty because they're not a good mom, or they aren't the mom that they expected to be, right? We all want to be, I'm so old and disconnected from you young kids nowadays. We all want to be, I guess I'll just show my age here. We all want to be, you know, Joan Cleaver, right? The Leave It to Beaver's mom. But unfortunately, we're all more like Roseanne, right? You know, that terrible comparison. I mean, you know, you plan this perfect parent in your head, and then you are not that, because nobody, including yourself, can meet your high standards. Sorry guys, I'm really struggling on this episode. This is definitely a tough one to get through. You know, I find that from my point of view, right, being a husband, being a father, from my point of view, I don't know how to say this without sounding like a complete douchebag, but I guess that's the only way I can say it. I don't remember a time when my wife had my children that I felt like I needed to worry myself with how she felt about being a mom. she's always wanted to be a mom. She's always loved the idea of having her own children. And, you know, that she'll tell you that was one of her big life goals, was to have a child and to be a mom. And, you know, that was like one of her main life goals, was to do that. And I think, you know, as a man sitting here, and I feel 100% confident in saying this, and I think my wife would back me up and support me on this, but I don't feel like I ever made it a priority when we had our children to make sure that my wife was okay and to make sure that my wife wasn't having any ill feelings toward the child. I can tell you right now that, yes, postpartum depression is something that was on my mind, you know, because it can happen to anybody, right? But it wasn't at the forefront of my mind. So while I did have that thought cross my mind at some point, it wasn't something that hung around, and it wasn't something that I looked at my wife and could see. But thinking back to it now, I don't think, even if she had shown symptoms of postpartum depression, I don't think I would have picked up on it. You know, you are exhausted after you have a child. You are, you know, you sleep when you can, right? The babies really take a lot out of you, as a mother. If you're breastfeeding, hey, when you're breastfeeding that baby, if you got a good secure, like a pillow or something, or, you know, a good secure spot, or you're laying down in bed and you're feeding from the side, as a mom, you're probably taking a nap, right? I would be. But I mean, I think about it right now and I think, man, I was kind of selfish, because I don't think I put myself into the mindset of someone who just pushed a completely separate human being out of their body. I don't think that, you know, I did it intentionally or with malice. I didn't, that's not what it was, but I definitely did not put her feelings and emotions anywhere near the top of my list, because the top of my list was, you know, hey, I gotta be here to help when and where I can due to physical limitations. After that, I gotta be back at work. By the way, this thing is amazing. This brand new little toy that smells like baby powder, right? You know, and you know, it's exciting, all the sounds and the faces and the just literally just laying there and probably sleeping, and you know, you're just amazed with it, right? It's just an amazing thing. Becoming a parent is just an amazing thing. And I think without malice, yes, without intention, yes, I completely ignored my wife for our children and her postpartum. I say that to say this, guys, if you're listening and you have a child on the way, or you've had a child, think back, right? If you've had a child, think back. Did you ever consider your partner's feelings, or ever consider the fact that they may be suffering from something? Probably not. And if you did, I commend you, and you're an amazing husband. You're better than me. You got one leg up on the competition, brother. I appreciate that. But if you are expecting, or if you're not expecting, but expect to be expecting at any point in your life, listen to a man that's been there. Make your wife a priority. Yes, take care of that child. Yes, enjoy that child. Yes. Take in the smells and the sights and the sounds. Maybe not all the smells. They get pretty rough. But, you know, just prioritize your wife's feelings. Prioritize your partner. If you're not married, prioritize that person, the mother of your child. Because I can tell you right now, I know a lot of strong women that would just push through it and say, I need to be here for this baby. I don't give a damn how I feel. I know I need to be here for this baby. And I know a lot of strong-willed women that can't, right? And it brings them down. But you are the second most important person in their life, and the first being that baby. They need to know that you're there for them, because you're not going to open up to anybody faster than the person that you're enjoying your child with. If you guys are, together or whatever, you're going to open up, right? And if not, just pay attention to the signs. If they don't want to open up, just pay attention to the signs. Get her help. She might hate you for it at first, but she will appreciate it. Now, people have said this before, and I'll reiterate it. Sometimes there aren't signs. Sometimes there aren't signs that we can see or feel or touch. And sometimes there are signs, but they're so subtle that we just don't pick up on them. And if that has ever happened to you, I am so sorry. So sorry. If someone has never picked up on your signs, or if it's too late for you to pick up on somebody else's signs, I'm really sorry for that. And I wish I could give you a cheat sheet right now that's going to tell you every single sign that you'll ever see, and every single sub sign that you'll ever see, and every sentence that somebody is going to say that's going to mean something or have a double meaning, or if people give away all their stuff, this is going to happen. And it's cold, hard truth of life that there are not always noticeable signs. They're not. Now, this episode has felt a little different. I've talked a little bit about research, but mainly I've just gotten up into my feels and tried to find my way out on the other side. But if you notice, this title of this episode is Postpartum Depression, A Mother's Silent Battle. So right now I'm going to go into a story. The first part of this episode was not too heavy. But this second part is definitely going to be one that you're going to want to keep a box of tissues around for. And there's no reason to prolong it anymore. I'm just going to get into it. So second segment here, postpartum depression, a mother's silent battle. Don't expect understanding. I don't expect forgiveness either. I only want to tell the truth, because the truth is all I have left. I loved my baby from the moment they placed her in my arms. I loved her. The love wasn't enough. Not when the nights stretched into forever, when the crying wrapped around my brain like a tightening wire. Not when I stared at the ceiling at 3 a.m., unable to close my eyes, because if I did, I would see myself falling, drowning, disappearing. They call it postpartum depression. Such small words for something that swallows you whole. I didn't know it would feel like this, like my own body had turned against me, like my mind had been rewired into something dark and foreign. I didn't tell anyone how bad it was, how sometimes when she screamed, I wanted to scream back. How I imagined running, just walking out the door and never stopping. The night it happened, she wouldn't stop crying. Her tiny fists beat against my chest, her mouth open wide, her face red and furious. My husband asleep in the other room. He could sleep through anything, lucky man. But I couldn't. I hadn't slept in days. maybe weeks. My head felt stuffed with cotton. My body felt heavy and slow. I just wanted her to stop. I rocked her. I hummed. I pressed her against me, begging her in whispers, "Please, baby, please." But she kept screaming, her little lungs pulling in air just to push it out again, over and over. And then, God help me, I pressed my hand over her mouth. It was only for a moment, a second, just to quiet her down, just to get one breath of silence. But something inside me had unraveled, and I didn't pull away fast enough. When I finally did, she wasn't crying anymore. She wasn't anything anymore. The silence I had begged for settled over me like a shroud. I shook her. I whispered her name. I pressed my ear to her chest, searching for something, anything. But there was nothing. I don't remember screaming, but my husband told me I did. He came running, found me rocking her in my arms, sobbing like the broken thing I had become. They took me away that night. The neighbors watched as the police led me out, my face streaked with tears, my hands still smelling of baby powder and milk. The news called me a monster. Maybe they're right. I loved her. Oh God, I loved her. But love wasn't enough. And now, all I have left is silence. I never expected postpartum depression to hit us the way it did. Like most first-time dads, I thought we were prepared. We read the books, attended the classes, and had endless conversations about parenting. But nothing prepared me for the moment my wife, my strong, loving, and resilient partner, began to slip away into something neither of us fully understood. The first few weeks after our baby was born were a blur of sleepless nights and endless diaper changes. I noticed the exhaustion in her eyes, but I chalked it up to normal, new parent struggles. She barely smiled, barely spoke. When she did, her words were heavy with self-doubt. "I'm a terrible mother," she whispered one night, tears streaming down her face as she cradled our daughter. I didn't know what to say. To me, she was doing everything right, but in her mind, she was a failure. At first, I thought I could fix it. I tried reassuring her, telling her she was an amazing mom, that our baby loved her, that things would get easier. But the words didn't reach her. Some days, she barely got out of bed. She held our daughter mechanically, as if she were going through the motions instead of feeling the bond she had longed for during pregnancy. The worst part? She started pulling away from me, too. I could see it in her empty stares and the way she avoided my touch. I felt helpless. I remember one night vividly. Our baby was crying, and I found my wife sitting on the edge of the bed staring at the wall. She didn't move, didn't react. I took the baby from her arms and held them both. One in my arms, and the other in my heart. Breaking for her. That's when I knew this wasn't just exhaustion. It was something deeper. I started reading about postpartum depression and realized how common it was. Yet no one really talks about it. I encouraged her to see a doctor, though at first she resisted. She felt ashamed, as if admitting she needed help meant she was weak. I assured her she wasn't weak. She was fighting a battle she never asked for, and she didn't have to fight it alone. Therapy helped. Medication helped. But more than anything, time and patience helped. I learned to listen instead of offering solutions. I learned that sometimes just holding her without words was the best support I could give. Slowly, the light began to return to her eyes. She smiled again. She laughed again. One day, she held our daughter close and whispered, "I love you," with a warmth that had been missing for too long. If there's one thing I've learned, it's that postpartum depression doesn't just affect mothers. It affects families. As husbands, we may not fully understand what our wives are going through, but we can stand by them, love them through it, and remind them that they are not alone. Keep holding her hand, even when she pulls away. She needs you more than what she can say. Guys, I wanted to share those just to kind of express how serious postpartum depression is. I want to do a little more research on postpartum depression. And I also want to reach out if there's anyone who has experience or knows somebody who has experience in the medical field with postpartum depression. I'd like to speak to an expert, bring an expert on the show. Anybody who knows a person who has dealt with postpartum depression firsthand, whether it be a mother who's had it or a spouse or a family member of someone who has had it. I would love to get them on the show and talk about this. You know, one thing that I feel is important to mention in that last story, it said postpartum depression, and I'm just summing this up. I'm not actually doing a quote, but it said something to the effect of postpartum depression is so bad and so terrible, but no one really talks about it, right? I mean, you get the mention at the doctor's office, right? When you're in there and you know, you're looking at the baby on the screen and you couldn't be happier than you are in that moment of life. And the doctor's like, "Hey, you know, postpartum depression, this, and, you know," and you're like, okay. We're about to have a baby. Depression is not a word that we're thinking of, right? Impression is what we're thinking of. This baby's going to make an impression on us and we're going to love it as much as possible. And nothing bad is going to happen ever. I want to do more episodes on postpartum depression. This one was just kind of an introduction to this. I want to have follow-on episodes. I want to do as many as possible, honestly, because, you know, I'm sure this is going to get taken out of context or taken the wrong way or somebody's going to misunderstand it, but you know, the babies are innocent in this, and they need to be protected. And I think raising awareness on this subject is going to help us do that, help us accomplish that goal. But here's the unpopular opinion part, right? These mothers aren't monsters either. These women who are suffering from postpartum depression and hurt their baby, or, you know, worst case scenario, murder their baby. These people aren't monsters. These people are suffering. These people are hurting. And just like I've said in this episode and any other fucking episode that I've ever done, mental health really takes you out of your element. I don't think people understand how serious mental health really is, and how serious it is to maintain your mental health. Postpartum depression is a silent killer. Postpartum depression knows no discriminatory age. Postpartum depression knows no boundaries. Postpartum depression will make you do things that you would never dream of doing when you're you. Postpartum depression, at its minimalistic form can destroy families. Postpartum depression to the max can cause a life. Sorry, can cost a life that hasn't even started. Postpartum depression can take a beautiful child away from a loving mother. I think about everything in the world today. And I think about all the evil that we're surrounded with and all the good that we're surrounded with. And I think about that bright, bushy-tailed, wide-eyed, brand new mother doing her hospital intake forms, getting ready for the delivery, being so excited, so overcome with joy. I think about her. No matter what, that's the mom. That's the mom right there. And I think that we lose that all too often when we talk about situations like this, and we lose the fact that just because something terrible and tragic happened, we lose the fact that these people are suffering. We lose the fact that these people are not themselves. These people are probably more themselves the day they're going to the hospital in their sweatpants and their baggy t-shirts with their little bowling bag full of, you know, newborn onesies and a preemie just in case the baby comes out small. I really do think that this episode has definitely kind of lit a fire under me for this. This is the first episode that I've actually shed a tear. I think that I know that I want to do more on this subject. So if you guys would like to reach out and tell your story as it deals with postpartum depression, or tell someone else's story that you know and you love or loved, please reach out. If you are a subject matter expert on postpartum depression, I would love to sit down and pick your brain and get you on the show and do an interview. But I think this is going to be the end of this episode, because I could probably sit here for hours and just think about situations and think about things that have happened and think about those two stories that I just read. And I could probably just sit here and just dwell on this and let it eat me alive and destroy me. But I think what I'm going to do is just end this episode here and start looking for next week's episode. And then also while I'm doing that, I'm going to start looking for some stuff to really dig into this postpartum depression and hopefully make a difference. So thank you guys for listening. See you guys again next week on the Ginger Veteran Podcast. Have a great night, and see you next week.
Bye.